10 8 5 Sports Up with Toucher and Rich. Bob Sosi is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Oh, yeah, Mr. Bob Sosi. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
I've never been more confident that you wrote out a call than I was yesterday when, do we have it?
Yeah.
When it's, you said the following.
By the way, this was probably my favorite play of the game, and here we go.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Retreats in the pocket. Off his back foot, throws toward the end zone. Left side, caught by White! What a throw as Brady hits the deck on target to James White for the touchdown Patriots.
That's the Tom Brady I know, and that's the Tom Brady that we love. 14-yard dagger by Tom Brady off a free blitzer and sweet feet White in the back corner. Start the buses, boys. Start the buses.
Well, there may not have been a Kodak bop at the end of that catch, but that's a Kodak moment.
You wrote that before.
You know what? I did not write it, but there was some writing involved. During the game, when White scored his first touchdown and did that dance, Zoe and I were trying to come up with the name of the dance because Brady had mimicked it and was working on it in practice this week. And Mark Bertrand, who was in our booth, texted me and said, it's the Kodak Bob. And then we went to break, and Bertrand said, somehow, someway, Bob Sosa, you've got to fit the words Kodak Bob into the broadcast. And so when I saw White, score the touchdown but not do the Kodak Bob, I thought, Kodak moment. And that's how it evolved.
Well, I did learn a lot about Tin Cup. Yesterday during the broadcast.
I actually didn't, but...
No, it's just funny because you mentioned Billy Madison and everything, Happy Gilmore. And then Zolak went into a tailspin where for like 5 minutes he was trying to figure out who the bad guy in Tim Cup was, the Don Johnson character in Tim Cup, what his name was.
Yeah, and then I was corrected by Mark Capello, the producer, because, you know, I said... Happy Gilmore for me when he's got golf movies, that's where it begins and ends. With a complete brain cramp on my part, not to think of Caddyshack and Capello set the record straight right there. I mean, that's the be all and end all when it comes to golf movies.
All right,
I would agree.
So this was an interesting game because everything went right for the Patriots and everything went wrong for Miami, and obviously the Patriots are the causer of a lot of that. But what were you most impressed by, the defensive side or the offensive side of the ball?
I'd say the defensive side, primarily because the Dolphins, I thought had big plays. They could attack you in different ways. Not that Ryan Tannehill, I thought was a quarterback whose talent lived up to the numbers with a 730 completion rate going in. But nonetheless, given the Patriots' challenges defensively and what we saw against Detroit, on different levels of the defense. And Tannehill's a guy who's played well against him in the past. I think his last three starts against the Patriots, he'd thrown for 300 yards plus, and Miami came in very confident. And I have a lot of respect for Adam Gase and what he does as an offensive play caller. But for the defense to come out, they gave up one play to start the first drive for Miami that you'd say that's a big play. And after that, the Dolphins got nothing. They got pressure on them. They covered well. They played fast. They were able to get pressure from some guys that we hadn't called very often in the first few weeks of the season. So I think that's most impressive. And the offense certainly played much better. It still has room for improvement, as we know. I think they're going to get better with Edelman coming back. And Brady wasn't his sharpest, but overall it was a complete performance.
Yeah, and it's odd because it was one of those things that there's the long completion to start the game, and then you just saw that Miami was going to be undisciplined and that they were going to shoot themselves in the foot and get down. And there was no way they were going to come back.
Yeah, absolutely, Fred. The Dolphins came in with 9 straight losses at Gillette, and they had a chance to really take control of the division early on this season. And so much talk about a new culture in Miami, but in so many respects, the Dolphins reverted to their ways that we've become accustomed to in Foxborough. I do think a lot of the credit is due to the Patriots as well.
Sure.
The Patriots didn't loosen the screws for the Dolphins during the course of Miami's various meltdowns. And I think that was a sign that, you know, this Patriots team had responded all week to the kind of coaching they got. They played with intensity right from the start. They talked about it the last couple of weeks, but they really played with a sense of urgency. And it was so critical after the Dolphins got that first play to shut them down near midfield and then score right away. And it was really a disappointing score because they had a first and goal from the three and settled for the field goal. But to come back after that and play the way they did certainly was, I think, a testament to, you know, the character that they so often have displayed, but we hadn't seen a lot of in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Bob, biggest difference in Sony Michel yesterday, was it the offensive line opening up holes, or did Michel look more comfortable?
In combination of different things, John. I think one of the things they discovered maybe after the Detroit game, and it goes along with the experience and being more comfortable and getting more reps and reading things and being more aggressive, is that, you know, he didn't see as many of those stretch runs. He was able to get downhill in a hurry. And, you know, I think it was also, as you touched on, a testament to what the offensive line did in front of him. And also the balance of the offense yesterday. You know, one of the things that we discovered in the first two appearances for Sony, when you look back at the stats, well, the number of touches pretty much corresponded with the number of snaps for Michel. There was almost you know, a sense that when Michel was in the game, the defense could identify, okay, he's going to get the ball. And oftentimes based on the formation as well. But what we saw yesterday was really a balanced attack. I thought Josh McDaniels called a terrific game for the Patriots. You know, they used White as both a runner and a pass catcher. And I think that contributes to Michel's effectiveness as well.
Was there a Josie moment yesterday?
There was. There was. And, you know, there was another Zolak who really stole the show. It was a family day in the broadcast booth. Zo had his nephews and his kids with us. Two of his three children. My kids showed up at the stadium as well and made an appearance in the booth. But Zoe's son, Brody, got on the big board along with his dad, and clearly the younger Zolak was the rock star in that moment.
I heard his son yelling during plays, oh, no, that was actual Zolak. That was Scott. He's been holding it back, has he not? If you listen to those calls, he was holding it back, was he not, for the last couple of weeks.
Well, he's been told not to step on him. He's been told not to step on Bob during play-by-play.
There wasn't a lot to yell about in a positive sense, certainly the previous couple of weeks. And by the way, speaking of yelling, I heard Rich Lapham call in earlier, and I just want to say that Dave Lapham is a very nice guy, and one of my best friends in the business is my counterpart in Cincinnati, Dan Horde, who loves Dave Lapham the same way that I love Zoe.
All right, well, now Rich Lapham will not kick your ass.
Apparently he's got it out for Bertrand.
Yeah, he does not like
that. That was very clear.
All right. Well, listen, Bob Soucy, thank you so much for the time. We always appreciate and look forward to hearing you Thursday night.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right. Appreciate it. We will be back, Rich.
There is a new locker room video that just came out post the win yesterday, and some questions answered about the health of Rob Gronkowski. On top of that, there's a certain owner who's feeling nice and loose.
Yeah, you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You like that, right?
Yeah, you like that? A nice hot dog slice?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be right back.
The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich.
Now.
Then does a somersault for a touchdown. Patriots.
What a catch. Brady has to throw it because of pressure. Brady gets drilled. And Dorsett goes down inside. As I said, he returns out. And he catches it off the shoe top.
Oh, my.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm a nice man.
I had to combat this. Anytime no rain comes on, something else needs to be played.
Blind Melon is just terrible.
Speaking of that, I was at the Topsfield Fair, and at the darts, there was a signed Billy Ass Man gun picture that I tried to play, but I couldn't win. $5.
I can't believe you put yourself through that.
For the Topsfield Fair. So this weekend, I literally found the two places outside of Gillette Stadium that were the most crowded in New England. The Topsfield Fair on Saturday and apple effing picking on Sunday.
The Topsfield Fair after about 11 a.m.
on Saturday. It's wall to wall. You can't move.
You should have graduated from apple picking. That's when you have, like, super young kids.
You know what? To be honest, the apple picking thing, I didn't even mind that much. Topsfield Fair, once you actually get in, is fantastic. The people watching is awesome. But I had to park in the remote lot, like the annex lot, which is like 3 miles away, where you get on a school bus. And yep. I was...
Oh, I did that. That's at Masco, right? That's at the high school.
It's way down the street.
Yeah, it's at the high school.
I was infuriated because they put people on the bus, and the line was super long, so I had to wait for like six buses.
Yeah.
And when they're loading them on, I got on the bus, and mine had like 9 empty seats. Like, all right, we're good, go. And I'm like, this... Literally, someone just needs to reevaluate how we're getting people here and just go, let's maximize potential of moving people's asses from one place to the next.
You know, John, when was the last time you went apple picking?
2 years ago.
Because the kids outgrow it.
2 years ago. Yeah. There's talk about going back this year, though.
Ugh.
No, I mean, there's Rich mazes and
Rich
stuff.
Rich and I go to the same place. We were talking about this
Where
the show started.
Topsfield, which is the one that which is not the one that charges you an arm and a leg.
No, the one you're talking about.
No, not Topsfield. I'm sorry.
To the Stowe.
Yeah, the Honeypot Hill.
Yeah.
How far away is that?
30 is minutes for me.
It's like 40 minutes for me.
Yeah, 30 minutes for me.
That's brutal. By the way, I'm being told that Nick went apple picking.
Oh, there you go.
Nick without a child, Nick just decided to go out apple picking.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what? Good walk, healthy walk up and down those hills. Good for the heart.
Now you got baseball.
Just don't go on those ladders, Nick.
That's a good one.
I might fall and break your heart.
That's right.
Like, literally.
Shatter that valve in your...
Yeah, that's pretty intense. If he reaches up too high...
Nearly dead Nick stops the ticking.
Definitely dead Nick.
Because he's only about 3 apples high. You got Dick tendencies.
Yes, he does.
Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Pats take on the Colts Thursday night at Gillette. Rich,
you are a dick. You.
Yes, he is.
All right.
Dick tendencies.
All right, Rich. It was a good feeling after the game. It was a game that they needed to win, and indeed they did in convincing fashion.
Yep. And the good news is with all the curiosity about what the status of Rob Gronkowski is going to be. Listen, he got taken out of the game, but there's obviously an easy argument that can be made saying, you know what, why keep him in at that point?
Yeah.
Right, it was a blowout. So did they take him out purely because he was injured, or did he get hurt? They said, let's not even risk it, let's keep you out. How is his injury going? Well, at the very beginning of this video, Rob Gronkowski is walking around the inside of the locker room, and it seems to be just fine.
Okay.
So that's good news, obviously. And so here is, you know, as the Patriots like to do, they released the inside the locker room video
to get you all hyped up.
To get you all hyped up. So let's take a listen.
Come on, baby.
Good day.
There you go.
There you go, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Nice hot dog slice. There you go, baby. Hot dogs for everybody.
Well done.
Good going, baby. Yeah,
thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Way to go, baby. Great game, huh? Great. Okay, fellas, that's just what we needed today, okay? All three units contributed, complimentary football, got contributions from everybody. We won the whole week, wasn't just today. We won the whole week. It's a really good job of preparation, and today was a special day for us, for Robert. It's 300th win, quickest to 300 for any owner.
Thank you. Hey, our family is just a vehicle and a custodian of this great asset. It's the players and coaches that did it. So thank you. This is a great thrill for me and my family, and you're the reason it happened. And I hope we're all together for 400. Yeah.
But I know I don't have to ask. But now, here I come.
Here comes Matt Slater.
All right. Everybody ready?
All right, Matthew Slater, let's do it.
Let's get it going.
But I know I don't have to ask, but I'm going to ask anyway. How do we feel about a victory?
Oh, yeah!
Thanks for this.
Yeah, you are now everyone's
kind of anticlimactic after that.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, go back. Well, now back to my Sudoku.
Because Sudoku's, are you saying?
Sudoku, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm playing three-dimensional chess.
Chess.
Three-dimensional chess.
Yes. I don't think I have to ask anyone because it's much like the theory of relativity fact, but how do we feel? Superb. Okie dokie. How's everybody feel? Neat? Okay.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you tomorrow. I'm going to get on my unicycle.
Unicycle?
I don't know.
So are you not apple picking this weekend? You're not, or any weekend coming up?
A couple
you're
of weeks. I'm told it's going to happen in a couple of weeks.
I've gotten to the point where it doesn't even bother me anymore because I've just accepted my fate. It's like going to the dentist.
Staying away from the maze, but pretty much everything else.
Well, that maze, like, flips you out, right? Like, don't you get, like, hives and stuff?
Yeah, I had a bad childhood trauma.
They didn't want to pay for braces, and then they just said, let's leave them in this maze.
Half of that's right.
Right. It's either we pay for dentistry or we abandon them.
That's right.
I'm going to go with option B. It's cheaper.
Option B. You know, we already have another kid. We don't need this second one.
Yeah.
You know?
How old are your kids? 8?
9.
Yeah, that's you don't have to go apple picking anymore. They don't want to be there any more than you do.
No, probably not. No.
Yeah. See, my kids like the maze, and they flip out over that. They enjoy it.
So no, my kids chuck apples at each other at this point.
There is a decent amount of that.
Yeah. Just go to your apartment, hide behind corners, and go and jump out and say, boo.
Listen, that sounds good to me. I've just resigned to go, okay, fine. But it's like, I mean, I don't know if this past weekend's like the big one or one coming up, but this one was just, I think it took almost 30 minutes from when I hit the traffic outside of Honeypot Hill to actually find a parking space. And then you wait on a long-ass line to buy your bag and get a stamp for the hayride.
Right.
And then you're waiting 15 minutes to get on the hayride.
Well, you got to assume if you're going to go on a hayride, you're going to have to wait.
Well, you have to get on the hayride to get to where the apples and the goats are. And
well,
where
you know, it's quicker to walk to the apples and goats instead of wait for the hayride.
I mean, there's goats?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean,
you can
Fred,
feed the goats,
it's a paradise. There's a goat. There's a pig.
There's a rabbit, I think.
There's a tractor you can sit on.
Is it that awful?
There's like a four-row pumpkin patch right next to the tractor.
Like, look at all these garbage jobs you could have.
It's potential for tetanus shots everywhere you go.
No, but the cider donuts make it worth it.
Is it like the, it's good.
They are phenomenal.
They are phenomenal, they're the cider donuts.
Yeah. Is it like that one farm that I went to where the last thing they had was cats? Davis Farm?
Oh, there's one, and I don't know if that's the one. There's one where we went apple picking one time, and I turned to Mary. We had gotten one bag of apples, and the entire day cost us, I'm talking admission to get in, picking the apples, coming back, no extras, cost us $96.
Oh, that was Belkin Family Farm.
And maybe it's that one, I'm not sure, but all I know is that I turned to Mary, I'm like, this is, on principle alone, I'm never stepping foot back on this farm. Ever again. Love and it. I calculate, I think every apple costs $6.
I mean, that's, I mean, it's a bold statement that you're never going back there.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, it looks like UMass football coach Mark Whipple has been suspended for 1 week without pay after comparing the team's performance in its 58-42 loss to Ohio on Saturday to sexual assault. He's going to participate in a mandated sensitivity training program provided by the university. On Saturday, Ohio scored on 9 straight possessions, setting a single-game record with 664 total offensive yards. Following the game, Whipple criticized the officiating and said, quote, "We had a chance there with 16 down, and they rape us." And he picks up the flag, Whipple said. The school announced a suspension yesterday, with Whipple releasing a statement saying, quote, "I am deeply sorry for the words I used on Saturday to describe a play in our game. It is unacceptable to make use of the word rape in any way, in the way I did, and I'm very sorry for doing so. It is not a term that should ever be used in the manner it did. It represents a lack of responsibility on my part as the leader of this program and a member of this university's community, and I'm disappointed in myself that I made this comparison when commenting after our game."
We had a girl in high school whose last name was Whipple, and she dressed like she was on Little House on the Prairie.
Wasn't that also the name of the guy who didn't want you to squeeze the Charmin?
Mr. Whipple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is?
It is.
Okay.
You just can't go around there squeezing the toilet paper.
You can't do that. That's a weird kink.
Well, no, I don't
Please
know.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin. That's just like, and the fact that I thought when I was growing up, I would live in a world where people just couldn't control themselves and would constantly squeeze rolls of toilet paper.
The best
And
is,
I guess that never happened.
Well, if you're one of them bears, they buy the toilet paper, they rub it up against their face. They just say, this is nice. By the way, the stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Yeah, this Whipple girl came into school late in high school, and she wore, like, stuff from, I would guess the 1800s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was it some sort of, was she a member of some sort of group?
I never talked to her.
Okay.
Not an attractive girl.
Okay, all right. Didn't wear makeup or anything like that.
No.
Okay, I understand. Well, the TB times may be a thing of the past, but Tom Brady has tried to replace it with something else, probably something that makes him seem like less of a maniac. Just a video blog after each game. Yesterday's win, he posted this, I think, around like 6:30 yesterday afternoon. He is in his backyard, and he has a special guest of his son in the video.
Great to be back in the win column, 2-2, and it's coming quick. Foxborough, Thursday night, baby. Got to get to 3-2. Let's go!
What up?
And he does that dance, the Kodak bounce. Is that what it is?
Okay.
The one that he kind of was busted doing at practice? The Kodak bop?
I like when he's self-effacing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I'm just like any other Joe Blow. Look at me. I'm making an ass of myself.
You see, that to me seems like a normal... That's what a normal human being does. You don't release the TV times with a weird gator that's never answered or anything, stuff like that. You just make a video. Hey, I'm glad we won. Here we go. I'm dancing and I'm, you know, look at me. I'm a goof.
Yeah.
I'm a big old goof.
That's what you do if you want no one to look at it again.
Good for you getting home by 6:30 after the game ends at 4.
Well, you know what?
Good
shows me
for
he's not
you.
Rising and
grinding. He was the only one who got home by 6:30 after the game ended at 4.
Well, you know, he's got that that super underground
I'm just going to say, he got all the way to Chestnut Hill in 2.5 hours? That's impressive.
Sure. You know, he's got his secret passages out of there.
Got the Batcave.
According to Jason Lockenfora, Colin Kaepernick is still receiving no interest from NFL teams, despite there being that lawyer of his saying that the Patriots were sniffing around as well as the Raiders. And I guess as of right now, they're saying that his agents continue to reach out to teams as injuries pile up. But those calls, emails, and text messages have largely been ignored. That's somewhat shocking, unless Colin Kaepernick still wants a ridiculous amount of money to come back, which could be the case. That's kind of why Dez Bryant, everyone was wondering, why does Dez Bryant, is he not on a team? Because he wanted something ridiculous like $7 million a year, it's being reported. Now, did you hear Terrell Owens come out and said something that I thought was fairly interesting? He goes, if Dez Bryant doesn't play this year, his career's over. And there might be something to that. Like, I mean, who's going to take a chance on this guy unless he concedes to play for the veteran minimum next year if he's taken an entire year off and now has built somewhat of a reputation of being difficult to work with?
Yeah, he would have to play for the veteran minimum. He'd sign a year at the veteran minimum, and hopefully he could earn himself a little bit more money.
You see, it's interesting. He's going to be 30 next month. And again, he has some miles on him, but he still could be a functioning wide receiver for somebody. He's not going to ever be a Pro Bowler again or anything close to that. But I think he could be effective with the right quarterback and the right offense. Don't you think?
Colin Kaepernick?
No. Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant could be fine. I think he could be your third receiver.
If he's
receiver.
He's willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why? I don't think his career is over. It's up to Dez whether or not his career is over or not.
Well, Danny, you guys watched Saturday Night Live this weekend?
I just saw the hysterical Matt Damon Kavanaugh thing.
Okay, so you saw that. You didn't see any of Kanye West?
No.
Okay. Kanye West is just trying too hard. I mean, he's been doing that for a while, but if you saw the first performance that he did, behind him was a screen with a woman on it checking her phone, just a video screen, and then he was dressed up as what looks like a Perrier bottle, and rapper Lil Pump, who was there with him, was wearing a giant Fiji water bottle. They almost look like the Fruit of the Loom guys. You know, they have those giant, like, you know, gratuitous costumes.
Yeah.
That's what it was, and they did a song there off the album Harvard Dropout, Lil Pump's album. And at the end of the show, apparently after credits finished rolling, Kanye West was on stage and started to do a rant. Now, this audio I'm about to play right here was recorded by Chris Rock. Chris Rock was in the audience filming as Kanye West went off as the show was going off the air. And you can hear Chris Rock laughing while this is happening.
We need to have a dialogue and not a diatribe. Because if you want something to change, it's not going to be the TV, LA, New York. York writers, rappers, musicians, so it's easy to make it seem like it's so one-sided.
And there's more to it where he starts talking about Donald Trump and how everyone should vote for Donald Trump and how he's going to run for president in 2020. Kanye West is going to run for it. And you just hear Chris Rock laughing in the background.
And then he took a picture of himself on a private plane with the Make America Great hat on.
Sure.
And he said they should repeal the 13th Amendment, which banned slavery.
Okay.
I don't know what he's doing. I guess he wants people to talk about him.
Well, we're doing it now, I guess.
Yeah.
So J.R. Smith says that the NBA is going to fine him because he has a brand new tattoo of
just two luscious butt cheeks.
Well, he's been fined before for tweeting out a photo of a big booty. Remember that? It was like, dang, I can't even concentrate. And they actually fined him.
Yeah.
Now, that was, of course, before you had the current commissioner who would never do something like that.
Well, he was laying on a bed, and it was like in the worst position because the booty was taking up the entire TV. I mean, had he just moved a few inches.
And then he would have been fine. He's like, dang, girl, I can't even concentrate. Well, J.R. Smith got a gigantic tattoo on his leg that goes from his ankle to his kneecap. It has the name of the brand Supreme, the skate wearing. It's like, that's all skate wear, isn't it?
Yes, and they always, it's, if you go to a fair, they have all these knockoff Supreme clothes.
Mm-hmm. So he's got it on there, and he tweeted that, he said, quote, "So I was informed today that I would be fined every game I don't cover up my Supreme tattoo on my leg during games." And then he wrote that, followed by three laughing emojis. "These people in the league are something else," middle finger emoji.
So you got it covered up with just Diana Ross.
Yes, and then it would be "and the Supremes." That's right. Or just add an S at the bottom of it, and then you'd be perfectly fine. Now, according to Darren Rovell, who, whatever, take this as a grain of salt because it's Darren Rovell, he said that J.R. Smith got a Supreme tattoo. He now says the league has threatened to fine him for every game he doesn't cover it. The NBA has long contended that they own the athlete's skin while on the court. It has been that way since Rasheed Wallace tried to get a Nestle tattoo in 2001. How have I not heard that story?
And you know, they weren't even paying him. You know, he just, like, loves Nestle Quick.
How have I not heard that story? Like, that's the greatest thing
he
ever.
He just loves strawberry Nestle Quick.
Sure.
And he just like, wanted to show that to the people.
Pop that sucker right on there.
Did you see what Rovell, when I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but the woman who testified that she was sexually assaulted
Ford.
By Kavanaugh,
Ford, yeah, Dr. Ford,
that she was drinking Coke, and Rovell put out, like, this is equivalent of $3.19 million of advertising.
You know what? I see what the sexual assault victim is drinking, and I really want to do the same. Yeah. Is that what he's saying? Is that this was like used as an advertising scheme?
Well, listen, it was a devil's three-way. They were playing quarters.
Well, of course. We all know that. Everyone knew that growing up. By the way, Night School, the Kevin Hart movie, which was probably made for absolutely nothing. $28 million, number one at the box office this weekend. And, Fred, you said that you saw White Boy Rick, right?
I did.
Okay, that was at number nine, but it's been out for a while. How was it?
It was fine. It doesn't move very quickly. And if you get a video on demand, I think that you'll kill 2 hours. It's not worth seeing in the theater. That is my vote. But the last two movies I've seen in the theater, I've actually made pilgrimages to see White Boy Rick in that movie Tag. And both I would suggest watching at home.
The new Sherlock Holmes trailer is out. Or Holmes and Watson with John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. That is the one movie that I am going to make a pilgrimage to make sure I see it the night it comes out.
Yep.
I can't wait for that one. That one and Creed 2 with Drago. Drago and Drago's son.
November 21st.
That I can't wait for.
All right, the stack, I already told you. So when we come back, we're going to find out what Bertrand and Zolak have on the way. .985 to Sports Hub. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30. For your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Colts Thursday at Gillette. Do you have a couple things, Rich?
Real quick, after thousands of votes, the results are in as to whether or not this was indeed Tom Brady calling under a fake name to talk to Troy Brown this morning. If you didn't hear it.
Troy Brown, big fan. I'm a big fan of your career and also your Pete Carroll impersonation. If you could do that sometime today, that'd be great.
I mean, the more I hear it, the more I'm convinced it's him. And so are our listeners, apparently. It is 60-40. 60% think absolutely they agree with Troy Brown, and 40% say no way. I mean, listen to that. Listen to
Troy Brown, big fan. I'm a big fan of your career and also your Pete Carroll impersonation. If you could do that sometime today, that'd be great.
That's him. That's him. Without a doubt. It's the second time he's done that here. Also, on top of that, I read this weekend that people who were covering the Celtics game at the TD Garden noticed that they have changed the lighting. And now it's a lot more like Madison Square Garden,
oh,
to
so
where
it's dark.
To where it's dark in the crowd. And Brooke, you see, I don't like that. Like, apparently, it wasn't that.
It sucks on TV.
On TV, it's not good to watch, right? But it didn't look that bad when I was watching some of the game last night on TV. But they're changing that. And the other thing I heard is that next year, I guess they're getting rid of finally the yellow seats inside the TD Garden, and it's going to be all black seats.
Okay.
They're removing that as, you know, right. They did that years ago when the Jacobs said, we need to make it look like there's more Bruins fans at Bruins games than there actually are. So they finally decided we are getting rid of that, and it is going to be all black next year.
Well, the Bruins were kind enough to give me tickets to opening day.
Excellent.
President's Day at 1 o'clock. The only thing is that it's a celebration the first time I gave my wife her greatest gift of all time, which was agreeing to make love to her. But my children now will be in attendance.
Oh, okay.
So the results of my loins will be in attendance as well.
And they shall be there.
Because they don't have school. So four tickets to a Bruins game,
No,
baby.
That is not cheap.
That is not cheap. What's going on over there at Gillette? We got the fellas.
We're here.
We got the brothers over there.
Giselle right now. Just hanging out. Beatles here. He's just taking care of some business.
Now, I did not know until yesterday that you are an author now.
I am. Absolutely. Well, where am I at? There I am. Jim pressed the wrong button. Yeah, I am an author.
And by the way, I like listening to the games on the radio and hearing that you endorse every single company and that you must be making like $400,000 in endorsements.
No, I'm not Morning Drive. I mean, that's you guys. But
I got
a kick out of it over the weekend. I listened to one of our shows, and there was a 5-minute commercial spot, and I did every read during a commercial.
Yes, I mean that's you're a man who and you're on coasters and everything else. So this book, how long has that been in the works?
It's been in the works for over a year, So Jeff Heil did all the writing on it, and. Yeah, we just talked.
Okay,
for months.
Every story has the one zinger that gets people to listen or to get people buy the book. What is the zinger that you got? What's gonna be the one story that gets people to buy your book?
I mean, I lived the bad. You know, I was here when it stunk. You know, when they picked me up at the draft and they dropped me off the End Zone Motor Lodge just down the street. And you know, here we are with two hotels on the premise now, and almost had a win right across the street, a casino. How times have changed. And my favorite one was, I don't know, maybe the one when I died, when one of the biggest a-holes I ever played with John Stevens, a running back, taped me up at tape. I was a rookie, and they taped my face and my nose and my mouth shut, Fred Smirlis. And they put me in a laundry bin and wheeled me down, just threw me down the runway, the old place where we used to run out. At the stadium, Wallach, remember that north end zone.
Yeah,
and Fred Smirlis ran out and saved me and untaped me. And if he didn't do that, I could have gagged myself.
Did you know, Scott, that you were you were mentioned on an episode of Arliss?
I did not.
Yeah, I got that same email.
Yeah.
Really?
You're apparently.
I used to watch Arliss.
I'll forward the email to Jim Louth because the person told us exactly what episode it was and at what time.
I'm a nice man. Yeah.
That's not what I said.
I'm an ass man.
There might be some ass man stories in the book. You never know.
All right.
That's why you got to buy it. Like Tom Brady said, you got to go buy it.
All right. Well, you guys enjoy yourselves.
Yeah.
Good job yesterday with the call. I heard a bunch of it over there in the
car.
We're
ready to go. 4 hours of football. Woo.
Yep.
Do it.
Four hours of football with those crazy cats. I'm hoping tomorrow at 8 o'clock something that will delight not only us but the audience. When this gentleman's on the show, it delights everyone. So hopefully that can occur. That'll do it for us, everyone. And remember, tickets tomorrow, 7:30, 9:30, that'll do it for us. Bye.